You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello, welcome to Top 25, Under 25, another double episode. And we're here with my good friend, my colleague, and my competitor with the Locked On Canadians, Scott Matla, Scooty Matley, whatever else we have heard in different combinations. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. We meant to record this yesterday, Sunday, of course, but Hughes had other plans for for our Sunday afternoon and evening in some cases here with that big, not even the main part of a trade, but we won't rehash that. Jared already put out something on that, but I am glad that to actually be back and talking Habs prospects on a show other than my own right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm always happy to join you, but I heard from Laura that you don't want white guys over 50 anymore, so there's so many of them.
It is my favorite thing. They're like, whenever Carly asks me, hey, tell people about your podcast, I'm like, I am a white dude with a podcast. I am not a special person. They don't need to hear about this, so...
Well, we're here to talk about one of our favorite prospects, a prospect that we have followed for quite some time, who recently signed with the Montreal Canadiens again, Jesse Ylönen.
Yes, someone that I have become a really big fan of since he's come over from playing in Liga, playing in Finland with Pelicans, is that he came over in that year where COVID canceled everything. He was traveling with the Rocket at that time. They were just finalizing some paperwork, and I believe he was nursing a small injury. COVID wiped out that season. We didn't get a chance to see him play, but obviously following him in Finland, you could see the budding promise of what the player to be was there. And then decent first year with the Rocket, played one game with the Canadiens there, and he's just grown more and more each year is that he's developed into a player who is more than just a dynamic shot, and he is one of the best shooting prospects the Canadiens have, and potentially one of the best shooting players they have in the organization. Obviously, a player like Cole Caulfield is at a different level there, even guys at the NHL level, but what Ylönen can do with the puck on his stick, whether he is one-timing it or he's loading up a heavy wrist shot, he is such an exciting player to watch when he is on his game. He's agile. He is becoming a very deft playmaker in his own right. He scans the ice well. He's so good that teams game plan for him at the AHL level. In the playoffs against Utica, they had guys in his face anytime he got near the puck. They didn't give him space to breathe or to move or to execute. He's, I believe, number 20 on our list here. I should know. I wrote his top 25 profile here. And it's an 8-place drop from last year. And I don't think that's indicative of how good his season was. I think it is indicative of how deep the Canadiens prospect pool has become in the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, when we look at it, it's more like we should look at, I think it's Struble as well, right? It's Heinemann, Ylönen, the other guy we're going to talk about on the podcast, Riley Kidney, and another player at 18 who's all within a point of each other. So it's a plateau here. He could easily have ended up being 18th instead, just a couple of votes here and there. But the plateau is really from 21 to 18. It's interesting that you mention his shot, because in Finland, he took it from bad angles. It wasn't utilized to the same degree in the power play. He was on the bumper position. And what stood out in Finland, maybe partly because of the hybrid ice and even the NHL ice and the Olympic ice, because they have a lot of different sizes. They even have one that is shorter on the length as well. I think it's 58 meters instead of 60 meters. But his skating really stood out, and it's technically astute, technically perfect, a little bit as the same thing with his shot, which is also technically sound.
Yeah, and the thing about the way he shoots is that he diversifies his shooting style here. He is, when he is teeing up for that one timer. He has a big wind up for that, and it almost reminds me a little bit of like what Shea Weber and PK Subban used to do, is that when they want it in the wheelhouse, they are cocked and ready to go. And he's not just putting it at the net. You talked about with Heinemann is that he tries to shoot through players. Ullinen tries to shoot through opposing goaltenders. He puts it upper 90 part of the net there. He is never shooting low. He's never shooting middle section. He is trying to put it where the goalie cannot get it. And sometimes maybe just, you know, rip it on net, it'll work. But the amount of times that he gets in that spot for that one timer to load up a snapshot or a wrist shot, and he just puts it right under the bar is incredible. And the good news is with that trade yesterday that we were talking about is he was blocked a little bit from an NHL path due to Mike Hoffman, Rem Pitlick, and other guys holding NHL spots there. They are gone now. This is his spot to lose in a training camp battle. He should make this Canadiens roster. It is up to him where he makes it on this roster here.
The important thing, really, as you mentioned, is that they created space because he is not waiver exempt, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he does require waivers this year, and I think
they had to create that spot because if you put him on waivers, another team will pick him up.
Exactly. He's the exact kind of player that if they are on waivers that, we couldn't find room for him. Look at Elie Tolvanen with the Nashville Predators, and that they couldn't find a home for him, tried to sneak him through waivers. He went to Seattle and just hit the ground running and everything worked there. Someone like Ullinen is exactly the kind of player that, you know, would probably thrive somewhere else. 32 points in 39 AHL games, and then 16 and 37 for admittedly a poor Canadiens team is not a bad process for him. And I'm looking forward to see what he can do next year. Can he, you know, contribute, you know, 10 to 15 goals next year? He had 6 playing in various roles across the season here. If he can become a, let's say, 30 point NHL winger, a good power play specialist next year, a good power play piece, not just purely a specialist, I think that's a big step forward for him because he's getting to the point now where it is, I have to earn my spot. He's on a 1-year, 2-way contract extension. A player like Pezzetta got 2 years. Rafael Harvey-Pinard got 2 years. There is the opportunity there for him to, you know, solidify himself as part of this rebuild going forward, part of the solution, not just a piece along the way to the final end goal there.
Looking at his point per game average, as you point out, is, let's see here, was it 0.71, right? In 120 AHL games. A few spots lower on the list is obviously Elias Andersson, that over 160 AHL games has 0.76. So he's better, but has ranked lower in the list because he's a year older.
Yeah, it's one. I am also beyond excited to see what Elias Andersson can do with this Rocket team. And I know that that is not the point here. I'm just saying I am very excited for Joshua and Riley Kidney and et cetera to be playing with someone like Elias Andersson, who has the professional experience to help guide some of these guys through there. I know there is a threshold that I know. I can't remember if it was generally like shots per game, points per game in the AHL that you want to see from a top prospect to get a good idea of where their NHL standing is in. I look at Ullinen playing at the NHL level, and I see somebody who has adjusted to the speed of that game and just has to work out some of just the little bumps in the road that come with development. In his article today that's up on Eyes on the Prize, there's a goal against the Devils this year in that he cuts into the zone, takes it wide, draws the defenders into him, and then puts the puck back into a high danger area for Jonathan Kovacevic to score a goal. And that's something that tells me that his development is coming along fine. He's not trying to force a pass into an area where there's nobody there. He's not taking a shot from a bad angle. He's not running himself out of real estate inside the offensive zone. He's looking at options 1, 2, and 3 and finding out which one's best and adjusting his plan of attack for that. And I think that is exactly the kind of offense Martin St. Louis wants. Trust your judgment and play with the space that is given to you. And I think he's done a really good job at that. Now, like I said, in training camp, you are a guy that they're going to want to see you play on Nick Suzuki's wing. They're going to want to see you play with Alex Newhook and Kirby Dach. Can you make something work in a third line role? Because I think he's wasted in a fourth line role because his style of play is not to be physical, is not to, you know, grind down opposing teams there and then get the puck out of the defensive zone. His game is to transition the puck with his speed and agility and to make things happen in the offensive zone. And I think, I know he would be a nice skillful addition to that fourth line, but I think it is a waste of the potential talents that he could have if that's where he ends up as well.
He really is a new Artur Lehkonen, isn't he?
At the risk of getting kicked off this podcast, one, just because he is Finnish and wears the numbers 2 and 6 at one level in a Canadian's uniform, no. The shots are great, don't get me wrong. Just do not expect Jesse Ylönen to be a defensive specialist at any point in time. He is one of the best, most skilled offensive talents in this organization right now.
That's just a lot.
Do not ask him to play long-term defense because it does not always go well.
He reminds me a lot of Emil Heinemann in that regard. Maybe not physicality, but they have the upside in the offensive zone. They tend to go chasing the puck a little bit in the defensive zone. They tend to get lost. It's not as often as on the big ice, but it's still there. It happens. And it's something to work with and work for, because if you want to keep that third line spot open, you need to become better defensively. And can he get better defensively at NHL level?
And I think that is the biggest part. That is exactly what I wrote in his profile, is that to take that next step, I am not asking him to become Philip Deneau. I am not asking him to become a Patrice Bergeron. Just work on where your reads are and on understanding your defensive coverage a little bit more. You do not have to be flawless. No player is flawless, but just improve enough that when I see you starting in the defensive zone, I'm not going, tugging at my collar and hoping the puck gets out of the zone there.
Looking forward, we mentioned the situation that he will probably be claimed if he goes on waivers. And we're ranking this, obviously, with who would you rather lose. You don't want to lose Ylönen, but there is also kind of and we mentioned a few names coming up through the development system. We got Farrell, we got Rafael Harvey-Pinard, we got the one we're going to talk about 2 minutes, Kidney, Heinemann as well. And how important is he for this organization? Is it the fact that we have spoken about him for 4 years? That means that we are a bit soft-hearted for a smiling Finn again?
It's such a hard thing, because if someone asked me, if you're picking one of Jesse Ylönen or Emil Heinemann, which one am I picking? And it's not that I dislike Emil Heinemann. Is that my sample size and knowledge of Jesse Ylönen's game is larger, and that I'm going to defer to my breadth of knowledge on that. But at the same time, that could change very rapidly this year. We saw how well Emil Heinemann adjusted to the Lavelle Rocket last year. Can he keep that up? We will see. If you ask me in 6 months, my answer might be very different. Or maybe it won't. Maybe, you know, Jesse hits the NHL and hits the ground running this year and is an absolute top six force. Then his voting next year becomes something completely different. So I am very excited to see what this year holds for him, especially now after this trade here. I am less worried about him going on waivers to sneak him through until they moved somebody else now. It is no longer a out of his hands thing. He controls his own destiny with this team here. And I think that's a very crucial and important part for a young player like him.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
And we're going over to Riley Kidney from the queue. Play there for a long time. He's taken the step up to the pro level at this time. What can you tell us about Riley Kidney that we really don't know, especially a Swedish guy sitting somewhere in on the West Coast in a bloody autumn storm already in August?
So Riley Kidney is someone that I was not really familiar with when he was picked. He was coming off a 38-point and 33-game season. Obviously, COVID shortened part of that. I admittedly didn't know much about Riley Kidney. And even then, I am not... I know Matt Drake, who watches a lot of those games because he has the time to do so, has followed Kidney very well, and he is extremely high on what Kidney can do here. He is... He puts up points. He is a phenomenal distributor and facilitator in the with the puck on his stick. He had 100 points in the 2021-2022 season, 30 goals, 70 assists in the QMJHL. He and other prospect Joshua Waugh were competing for the QMJHL scoring title. This past year, he put up 110 points with 82 assists and 28 goals. He's probably the highest scoring prospect in the organization right now. The QMJHL lends itself to being generally more offensive based, but he got traded out of Acadie Bathurst, where he was an alternate captain there, and went to Gatineau, to the Olympiques. And he, since arriving there, just refused to stop putting up points. Even in 13 playoff games, he put up 22 points in those games. And it looks like he's improved more from being just a guy who collected a lot of points on a QMJHL power play to a guy who is adding more at even strength and contributing more in that role here. There are some concerns about how big he is. He did join the Rocket for their playoff run 2 years ago. I was in Rochester when he joined the team, and he looked like a child had gotten lost and wandered into their practice, which... He was 18 years old at the time, so he's developed a lot. He's someone that I know a lot of people are going to have their eyes on. And we talked about in the Ylinen episode about, you know, Elias Andersson a little bit. There's also players like Philippe Maillet, Gabriel Bork, Lucas Condotta, et cetera, who are Mitchell Stevens, who are going to be joining the Rocket again this year, coming back to the Rocket this year, that have a little bit more experience. Kidney's listed it as a C. I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the wing with a veteran center along with him to help him adjust there, because his whole strength is he is always scanning, you know, lanes, trying to find passing options and facilitating plays in there. He is very skillful in that. And Joshua Waugh is going to get a lot of the attention with the Rocket next year, or this upcoming year, I should say, based on when we're recording this. But Riley Kidney is someone who should be in everybody's purview here. You're going to have Emil Heinemann down there. You're going to have Sean Farrell down there. You're going to have Philip Machar as well. There's going to be other high-skill players that can match his skill level for playmaking and create a lot out of that. And I think that should be a thrilling idea for a lot of Habs fans this year, is that all their young prospects are going to be developing their chemistry here before they start moving up to that next level if they take that step.
We always hear how important it is with playoff performance and playoff experience, etc. With as many youngsters as the Rocket will have this year, is it maybe too much of a good thing because they might not make it into the playoffs, or they make it into the playoffs as last year and get knocked out in two games straight?
That is a good question, and I'm just pulling up the Rocket roster on Elite Prospects as of this exact moment here. The team itself has a really nice balance of younger players, veteran players, and the AHL tends to be a little bit of a development league with the addition of, hey, it's also a competitive professional league there. The oldest player on this team is 32 years old. And that's team captain Gabriel Bork. Most of the other players here average from the youngest being, you know, 19 years old to, you know, 23, 24, 26, 27. There's a nice balance. The whole thing about this is that the Canadians have overhauled this. They had teams in years where the Rocket were not very good, that it was the only people doing anything are veterans that were paid on NHL deals who got a good AHL salary out of it. This team has began to thrive on the play of its prospects. Rafael Harvey-Pinard has come along very well. Yessi Ylönen, that we've talked about, someone like William Trudeau, the goaltenders. Caden Primo has been very good at the AHL level, hasn't taken that next step, but has still played well enough there. There is some concern that maybe they might be a little bit young or inexperienced in some spots, but I look at what this team was able to do last year with a thrown together lineup in a lot of games where they were bought short on bodies, and they put together a cohesive effort. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that if they're playing well, you can't always control the outcome, but if you're seeing those positive steps forward in their developments, if Joshua Waugh scores 20 AHL goals this year, if Riley Kidney becomes a solid contributor in their first season here, and it's not just all on Elias Anderson's doing everything, and you know, Brandon Jinyak has to be this guy here, and Mitchell Stevens is doing everything. If they can help boost the profile of these younger guys here, and Riley Kidney is especially a part of that, I think that it's a huge success story for the Canadiens and the Rocket this year.
It might be a very good thing. I'm totally aware of that, but also that there could be too much of cake to go around in a way, because it's there is a lot of young talent, and if it starts out very well, it will go well. But it's also that positive spiral that can turn downwards, and if it starts going bonkers, it will continue to go bonkers. And I think that is maybe the toughest bit with it. What kind of expectations should we have on Kidney going from juniors to AHL level? And which line do you project he would play on? Not the whole line as a stat, but will it be second or third, first?
That's the hard part here, is that because everybody going from junior to the professional ranks has an adjustment period. You know, say for, let's say, some of those, you know, top, like, you know, first round draft picks, those actual like star players and everything. Cole Caulfield, you know, went from NCAA to the AHL, dominated, went to the NHL, and obviously has become who he is. I think for Riley Kidney, he's going to start in a, you know, probably a third line role there. They're going to have a line of some of the older guys maybe take some of those more heavy defensive minutes as they ease in some of these younger guys. So they're going to give them a Philippe Maillet, who is a veteran of the AHL and knows kind of how this works, and Mitchell Stevens here to ease their transition in there. And I think if Kidney puts up 35, 40 points in the AHL, you're doing pretty well for yourself. It all depends on, is the power play functioning? Because as we know, a poor power play reflects badly on everybody. And just how are the Rocket going to be this year? Are they going to have a team where they have an AHL superstar standout like they used to with Chris Terry, who collected a ton of points from Charles Houdon and Nikita Sherbak at the time, and there wasn't much else? It's going to be a rotating group here, is that when a player's hot, they will move up the lineup. Jean-Francois Houle has no problem shuffling his lines even after wins. If someone is playing well and deserves to be promoted, they move up in these games here. And I think if Kidney comes in and proves that his ability to make plays and to distribute the puck hasn't slowed down in anything there, he will quickly find himself moving up that lineup there if he can keep up with the pace. But there might be some games he might be a healthy scratch, in some games just as they ease him in if he's struggling with an adjustment. I think he's going to start on that third line, and you're hoping between 30 and 40 points in that first season to build a solid foundation to get to that next level on there. And I'm not saying he's going to score 25 goals and get 15 assists. I think he's more likely to put up maybe 10 goals and collect 20, 25 assists this upcoming season, playing in that third line role for the Rocket.
The Rocket is stacked. The good thing with the Rocket, and I think I mentioned it on different pods, and I'm recording them in different orders, so I don't really remember when I've said it and not. So pardon me for maybe repeating myself, or that I will repeat myself. But how important is it to have the rocket in Laval, where you can get Adam Nicholas to come down or other skills coach to come down? Even Martin Saint-Louis can probably come down and maybe not sit in the stands, because then he will get assaulted by fans and by press. But but at least being in the locker room.
I think it's a huge deal. And to have the ECHL team here as well, is that you have everyone within, let's say, an hour and a half. I'm not quite sure how far Trois-Rivières is outside of Montreal there, but you have everyone in kind of a sphere of influence here, is that you can have, like I said, Adam Nicholas check in with the Rocket for practice. They've had Marie-Philippe Poulin go in for practice with the Rocket on a day just to keep up with that player development there. And with so many young players, like I said, Machar is going to be joining them this season more than likely. You're going to have Kidney and Wah and Sean Farrell and guys like Jaden Struble and Logan Mayu on defense, that operating inside that sphere of influence, you are able to be more hands-on with your training and development. You are not relying just on the coaching and training staff of the AHL team. You can offer them the tools that the NHL team has, being so close together. There's like a half an hour difference from the Bell Center to Place Bell in Laval, that it's a huge benefit to this team here. And the team being good and packing in fans, it makes it a destination place to play. Players want to come to play here, whether they're opposing players or as part of this team here. When they held the All-Star game here, that is the one thing taken away from that. Having the team this close to the NHL hub for the Canadians is a huge, huge, huge benefit for them as of right now. And it's been very successful now that they've kind of gotten their feet solidified here. The previous regime has kind of washed its way out, and they're finding really nice success with their AHL club now.
If we look at it for both these players, we have, if I remember, yeah, in 2022, Ilonen was number 12 and Kidney was number 15. Both have fallen in this year's top 25 under 25, obviously because a lot of talent has exploded onto the ice and also has been drafted onto the ice in this year. How worrisome is it that if you look at the top 25 under 25 trend, they are going backwards or sliding backwards?
Well, it's like I said in the episode where we talked about Ilonen, is that I think it's more... Yeah, well, I wasn't sure there was a break in this or not. So the biggest thing about it is that it's not so much indicative of their performance. Riley Kidney had a 110-point season last year and dropped in the rankings a little bit. It's just that other players exploded a little bit faster or in a more dominant way. The Canadians have added more bodies, a David Reinbacher. We've seen Arbor Jacki take a tremendous step forward. They added Alex Newhook. Nathan Legere is going to come into this top whatever ranking at some point. They've added so many bodies that naturally players just shift down here. Some players stepped up and really solidified themselves more at the professional level, like a Justin Barron and Arbor Jacki.
And Adam Kidney, Engstrom.
Adam Engstrom, yes. Apologies for that. Kidney had a strong season, another strong season. It's the value of having someone to take that another big step forward at the professional level is just that little bit more there. And honestly, it's not indicative of, you know, them being a lesser prospect or potentially being a bust. It just means there's more wealth to go around here. And I think that is, quite frankly, a huge benefit to Kent Hughes and the Canadians, is that they no longer have to hope that, well, we got to hope Riley Kidney makes it. We got to hope Joshua Waugh makes it. We got to hope Jesse Ilonen makes it. Is if one of them doesn't, there is still somebody else here that makes a huge impact for, or can make that impact for us. And it is nice to not be stressing about like the three top tier prospects we have possibly making it.
And there you have it. You've been listening to Scott Matla. Congrats to the new job for everyone that doesn't know about it, Scott. And we're super happy and super stoked for you. You find him at Locked On Canadiens with his co-host, Laura Saba, who will be joining us at a later episode. about a much more interesting prospect. Sorry, Scott. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys for listening.